All I was told. Pack the bags. We're going to Honeywood House. On the morn of our travels, the usually tame and serious-minded Miller children took to cavorting in a fury of high spirits. What to make of their gaiety, I certainly couldn't foretell, for I'd never laid eyes upon English countryside afore. How could I? Growing up on a plantation owned by Mr. James Miller's brother, my view had been laden by cane fields. Row upon row of thick stalk, as tall as houses. Master Thomas took it upon himself to school me. He told me, there's more trees in Honeywood than people or buildings. Branches stretching out like the head of Medusa, perfect for climbing. Ha! As for Miss Catherine and Miss Emily, they delighted in regaling about Grove Pond and its array of fine-looking birds and exquisite flowers. Spectacles only a child born into wealth would know. I certainly didn't get shipped to England to take in the scenery. I was sent to hard labor. All of England I'd seen were four grimy walls and a sour-faced landowner by the name of Jane. Twistmout Jane, that's what I call her. A face so hideously grave, hardened by years of toil and affliction. I'd been ill with high fever for days. Must have lost my head, thinking I was back home, running through cane fields. Mother chasing me, taking me up into her arms. Oh, how I yearned to stay there, nestled in her warm, soft bosom. But the doctor and his foul-tasting remedies hauled me right back. He told Mrs. Miller, spending her days confined to a washroom, bent over a tub, hands in water, did not agree. Not a Negro born under the sun. Age barely 15, I languished the configuration of an age-old woman, one who'd already borne far too much. The lashing of the overseer's whip, the severing of cords that bound me to my oar, so sweet, blessed mother. I'd been stripped down to the very core of my being, told to alter the way I walked, how I talked. Even the hallowed songs of my lineage were forbidden. There really was very little left for the good Lord to salvage, but salvage he did. 'Twas near to my deathbed before Mrs. Miller took heed of what the doctor said, withdrawing me from the damp, dark prison they call a washroom. I was now to be a house servant. That's where I first met Miss Catherine. Miss Catherine was the younger of the two other children, Master Thomas and Miss Emily. Miss Catherine certainly had a way with words. She could always bring a guarded smile to my unyielding face. We both were of similar age, and we were both confined. I under the reproachful eye of Shelley the housekeeper, and she under our mother's fearful watch. You see, Miss Catherine was a sickly child. I'd never seen anyone look so absent of colour afore. Skin so thin, you could trace blue lines underneath. There was something wrong with her breathing. Asthma, they call it. Mrs. Miller tried in vain to fix her daughter. But this only smothered poor Miss Catherine all the more. Me, a mere servant girl, did feel a certain pity for Miss Catherine. Mr. Miller saw fit for his daughter's health to journey to their country manor. The road from London to Carshalton was long and tiresome. I recall every bump, every stone under the wheel of the cart. My discomfort did nothing to prepare me for what was to come. An awakening, a change of air which brought my senses to life. I hadn't realized how far the stench from London's cesspool of waste and filth had stifled my breath until I could breathe, smell things, glorious things, sweet and spicy. Oh, how I sneezed wiping the eye water, and that's when I saw, far off into the distance, on top of a hill. I thought it must be a church, with its spire sheathed under a tall tower. Then, as we got closer, it looked more like a fortress, with walls surrounding, two crowned lions standing guard, roaring over an iron gate. I wondered, who lived here? Samuel Moodian, who was to be my new neighbor and resident at Carshalton House, he told me all about the master that lived there, Master George Taylor. They're making a fortune in sugar and slaves, he'd say. Trading slaves like you trade cattle. Over the years, I got to know Samuel very well. He opened my eyes to things I'd not seen afore. Every brick here laid, he'd whisper, been built off the backs of slaves laboring on plantations, far and away, across land and seas, where the eye can't see and the heart has no care. Samuel's familiar melodic tone always caused a stir, flooding my cheeks. Like me, he was carried over to England, still a child, he from St. Kitts, I from Jamaica. But having spent more years in this country, Samuel appeared already settled. He told me about the likes of other Negroes in the parish, such as Charles Caesar, Samuel Lindley. They laid the road I am now walking, he'd say. Well, I'd never seen nor heard of a Negro butler afore. On the plantation, any thought or desire to think better of yourself was stripped and whipped out of you. You lived and died a slave. The end. Yet, the road to Carshalton was to open a new chapter. One that the Miller children were already privy to. But the moment their carriage stopped outside Honeywood House, Miss Catherine, Miss Emily and Master Thomas all leapt out. I'd never seen Miss Catherine move so fast afore. Whilst Mr. Miller snuck off to his study, you should have heard Mrs. Miller screaming after them. I had to chase behind, laden with Miss Catherine's breathing aids, in case she had one of her fits. I almost tripped, tramping on the carpet of thick undergrowth, trying to keep up. Thankfully, Master Thomas was quick on his feet. for he thrust forth his hand, thwarting my fall head first into the river. Oh, my! I couldn't deny the place's splendor. Clear, sparkling water, glistening like diamonds. Birds and flying insects swooping in every direction, skimming the landscape. Pretty pink and white blossom. Trees painted every shade of green. I could have lain adrift in this wondrous paradise. If it weren't for the unrelenting pounding of water from hard at work mills, churning out leather, grinding down wood, banging out copper, and most ruinous of all, the most dreadful cries coming from Miss Emily and Miss Catherine. Dared I follow Miss Catherine's quivering finger, lowering my gaze to just below waist, a blotch of crimson. Master Thomas abruptly carted Miss Emily and Miss Catherine back to the house, whilst I stood affixed to the spot, unsure whether to remain or follow. I can only thank the good Lord for sending Samuel. He'd been on his way to Logwood Mill when he heard the screams and came running. To him, he saw no shame in my becoming a woman. He simply unbound the cloth used to tie my hair, casing it round my waist, then told me, "Go straight to the housekeeper. She'll know you what to do." Over and over, I thank the good Lord Almighty for sending this beacon, this fine face of a Negro who could transfigure my own unyielding one, as though it held up a mirror in which I could, for the very first time, see my own reflection. Samuel showed me just how lost I'd been, without home, without family. He set me down and apart towards my becoming.